Okay, good morning, and it's good to be with you. It's good to be able to break bread together. Woke up this morning, and sure enough, there was no bread. You know, I'm the kind of guy that's got to have bread in the morning, pretty much every meal. And my wife knows that I get a little bit, where's the bread? Well, what had happened was, and unbeknown to me, because when I woke up this morning, I wasn't quite awake. I had forgotten that a neighbor had come by yesterday. I'd called ahead and said, would you like to have some fresh buns? And I said, absolutely, that'd be great. But when I woke up this morning, I forgot about that. So I went to the freezer and I took out some bagels. And I am not a bagel lover. They're chewy, crunchy. They practically pull your teeth out when you bite on them. You know what I mean. How many of you are bagel lovers? A few of you need some help. You must have good dentures. Yeah. At any rate, so I defrosted these bagels, you know, in the microwave, cut them up. And my wife says, I'm having a fresh bun. I had forgotten. And then I sort of felt a little out of place. I thought, that's a great idea. Yeah. Anyway, we're breaking bread this morning. And it's good to be able to be with you and to realize that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's go over to John chapter 6 here for a moment. Before we do that, just a reminder that earlier this week we sent you an email to pray for Jody and Linda and their family as their daughter Joy was being brought to a hospice. They'd been doing some treatment for pancreatic cancer, and consequently that didn't take, and so they brought her to hospice, knowing full well that unless the Lord miraculously intervened, she would die. And so you got an email telling you that that had happened. They also had adopted a couple of kids. Like, I mean, you know, Jody and Linda have devoted their lives to loving kids less fortunate. They have a grown adopted daughter who came out of significant abuse and so on. And next weekend was supposed to be a ladies' conference where this daughter and Linda were going to be sharing, and that had to be canceled as well. Anyway, I want to just pray for them this morning and just continue to uphold them in your prayers. I was telling the service a little earlier, I can remember when my sister passed away, and I was watching my parents grieve. And to be honest, it's hard to relate. It's hard to relate when one of your children passes away. And if you've known people who've experienced that, you know that that takes a real toll on them emotionally, even spiritually, if they're not at a place where they need to be. Now, Jody and Linda are walking by faith, and they're certainly prepared for this, but it's still a significant loss in their lives, and it's not what they would have planned, of course, and we don't always know why the Lord permits these different things. So let's pray together and commit our morning to you, to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for each one who's here this morning. Thank you that you've given us your word, the living bread that comes down from heaven in the person of your Son, and then having been preserved right here in your written word. Thank you that we can meditate upon it. Help us, Lord, to give thought even in the midst of the brokenness of life, when we are overwhelmed with all the things that go on around us, that we need you and we need perspective. And so we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to your table to be reminded of our need of fellowship with you, communion with you, and then to realize how deeply loved we are by you. We want to uphold Jody and Linda and their family this morning as they grieve the loss of their daughter, Joy. We pray, Father, that as they continue to trust you and wait upon you, that they would be refreshed as they read and meditate and as they comfort their children, adoptive children, that you would also just give them joy and that each one would find their strength in you. Bless our time here this morning. Undertake for various ones here in the room who are maybe facing challenges that we know nothing about. Father, we know that current life that we're living is not what we signed up for. And yet, frankly, we'd have to say that much of life is not what we signed up for. And so we pray for strength and perspective, that we might rejoice in the midst of the brokenness of life, that we would not despair, but rather give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for each one here today and their families, for each young person, and for those who are watching. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 6. Maybe you've thought about it, maybe you haven't. But the Lord Jesus tasted bread. He loved homemade bread like anybody else. Whether they had it with butter or whatever the condiments they might have had, we don't know. Likely there was honey. There was olive oil, maybe for a spread. All kinds of different herbs, spices. And so he understood how the basics of life were so essential. After all, we might say, well, he's the creator. Of course he understands what we need. But he also experienced that need. He got hungry. He looked forward to that meal. He looked forward to the baked fish and so on. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. What does life consist of? Certainly not in our possessions. Certainly not in all of our circumstances somehow fitting out so that we can just say, well, the reason why I am blessed is because I'm walking by faith. Listen, folks, people who walk by faith endure hardships, challenges, disappointments. People that walk by faith understand pain, suffering, disillusionment. I wanted to bring you over to verses 60, down to verse 69. I'll take you back actually to about verse 55, where he tells this group of people, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. And just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? You think I said it to offend you? You think I didn't know that it might offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. That's the realm where Jesus comes from, is the spirit realm. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. What does life look like? It's more than bread in the morning or bagels. It's more than all of the circumstances just sort of working out. Life is peace in the eye of the storm. Life that God wants us to have is to maintain perspective when everything around us is confusing. Life is finding comfort in the midst of loss. Life is knowing you're forgiven when you fail. Life is having joy when the world's form of joy could never satisfy. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. John, of course, is pointing to Judas Iscariot. He went on to say, "That is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." By the way, Jesus also said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." And then in Peter, it says that God would have all men to come to repentance. So it isn't that we should assume that God only has love for certain ones, because we also read, "For God so loved the world." And so this enabling is through the person of the Lord Jesus and the message of the gospel. It's when you and I respond by faith that we're granted the life that God offers. To live by faith is not to live by sight. To live by faith is to trust when it seems impossible to trust, when everything around you is saying otherwise. From this time, many of his disciples, verse 66, turned back and no longer followed him. I believe this is a reference to many who had believed, not a reference to the 12, but many who had believed but couldn't understand. They had taken something that was said and meant to be understood figuratively, but they took it literal. Back there at verse 55. And so then Jesus looks to the 12 and he asks them a question, rather pointedly, in your face kind of thing. Do you want to leave too? I've seen people walk away while others walked away. I could hardly believe it. It doesn't make sense. Was this a question that Jesus asked simply for their benefit, to test their loyalty? Or what is it that he was wondering in the midst of having laid aside the prerogatives of deity, whether in fact they would actually walk away? And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You know, when you think about that, that takes us all the way back to Job. It takes us back to Abraham. It takes us back to men of faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, men and women of faith, who against all the odds stayed the course, stayed loyal, stayed faithful. You see, the whole point of breaking bread here this morning is not about, did I have bread here today? It's about remembering the life that God gives and offers. It's commanded that we do so because if we didn't, we would forget it. And if we didn't remember it, we would lose perspective. And so we need to be reminded of this. Now, I don't know if you had bread this morning, but I finally got my bagel down. I'm looking forward to another homemade bun when I get home. But what real life is all about is being right here, fellowshipping with you, and being reminded that there are many brothers and sisters in Christ who are walking by faith and who experience life. Do not forget the assembling of yourselves together. But we're to do so all the more as we see the day approaching. We're to encourage one another and love each other. That's what this love feast is all about. I'll open it up now for some of you to come and share from the Word, and looking forward to that.
To 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you've done everything for us so that we can have a rich life here on earth, that we can follow your example to make good choices, and that we can live a life that's effective and fruitful as we walk in step with you. Just pray that you would be with us here this morning. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. reading from verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray. Dear God, I do want to just thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord, the life that you lived and the example that you showed. And so, Lord, when we are in need, when we are struggling, Lord, you are always there for us, and pray that we would find our strength in you day by day, Lord. Thank you for our time here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd just like to share a little bit from 1 John chapter 2. Speaking of the reminder, John is says there in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Down to verse 12, reasons for writing. "I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the Father, loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time this morning. Thank you that we can reflect on your word, be reminded of your love for us and your sacrifice. Thank you that you've given us power to overcome sin in our lives as we walk close to you and consider how you love us and provide for us. And Lord, we just pray that this morning that you would help us to appreciate your sacrifice. Just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It's back at verse 33 of John chapter 6. Thank you, fellas, for sharing everything that we've read this morning ties together, and that's really the purpose of God's word, is so that you read it and you're reminded from different places how it is that God loves you and cares for you, takes care of you. Everything that you have is because God has graciously given it to you. Lord, to whom shall we go? Verse 68. Peter wasn't saying he was stuck. Sometimes we think that, don't we? Somehow we're stuck. The point was, what's the alternative? If we're hoping to have life, there can be no life other than feeding on the bread that comes from heaven. And that's why it's important on a daily basis to spend time meditating upon the truth of God's word. There are people in the world today who don't have the word like you and I have, facing circumstances a lot harder than what you and I face. And all they have, in a lot of cases, maybe a radio program. Some cases they've heard a verse and they catch on to a few words and they hold that and they're refreshed by it. You and I, of all people, we actually have the scriptures in our hands that we can read at any time. We can read as often as we want. We can memorize it. We can see it in stories that have been done either in a movie or so on. We have so much at our disposal. Likely Peter was also expressing, based upon what we've seen and based upon what we've heard, we know you have the words of life. These are words that bring a quality of life, not simply something that you receive after you die, but something that you have while you're here. And so the second Peter passage is really about this experiential knowledge that we have as we walk by faith, as we meditate upon the goodness of God, his love for us found in the person of his Son, to whom we go to as our advocate, as we read in 1 John, the one who loves us, forgives us, and understands us. And that's why we're here this morning. I ask those of you who are helping to serve this morning to come forward at this time. Come on up. I'll get one of you to give thanks for the loaf. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll be looking at verse 23 and following.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your great love for us, for what you've done for us, and giving your life so that we can have life, taking the sins of the entire world, of all people of all time upon yourself, so that we could be set free. Help us to truly appreciate all you've done and all you do for us every day. I pray too, Lord, as we partake of the bread, help us to realize what it symbolizes, and help us to, again, really just show appreciation for what you've done for us. We ask you to bless the bread in Jesus' name. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I passed on to you, for I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Just normal bread. It's real bread. It has no mystical power in it. It doesn't become the body of Christ. It's a picture. I didn't grow up with that understanding. I was told that somehow the bread became the literal body of Christ, just as we read in John chapter 6, which offended people. But millions of people around the world believe that. Somehow there's this belief that if you partake of the bread, somehow there's something going to take place mystically in your mind. That's absolute fallacy. If you mean by, as you partake of the bread, that you worship God more favorably, you can do that. That's more psychological than it is by virtue of taking the bread, because you can worship God anywhere you want. I want you to realize the reason why we're breaking bread here this morning is to recognize the cost that was paid so that we might have life. He is the bread that came down from heaven. Nothing mystically takes place in your head, your heart, or anywhere else. Everything has to do with your attitude and your motive for why you're doing what you're doing. May the Lord bless our time here. So as he took bread, he gave thanks and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you, Lord, again for what you've done for us and just how you gave yourself so that we could have life. We thank you, too, now for the blood that you shed so that, again, we could have life. Pray that you would just bless the cup in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the early reformers, his name was Zwingli. He had seen what had happened to the church and how it lived in constant fear. How people would avoid breaking bread. Because they were threatened with the idea that if in some way their life wasn't perfect, they'd be sent to hell. I want you to realize that you and I have been asked to come to break bread with the Lord and with each other out of a deep sense of loyalty and a love, knowing that we're forgiven. The blood speaks of the new covenant, speaks of a new relationship that we have with God by faith, by virtue of his grace extended to us. So in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." It's where you might say under your breath, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me life in the giving of your life. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'll get you to stand together and we'll close off with a word of prayer. Father, once again, we are in awe of your marvelous plan. We can't quite understand all that has taken place in the unseen realm, even throughout history, even though we have a good chunk of it recorded, oftentimes in the midst of bias. We simply confess, Lord, our need of you. We want to have a clear conscience before you. We want to obey you, and we want to reciprocate the love that we've received. We want to love one another as you have loved us. We want to live our lives the way you designed it. We want to be conformed to your image. And so help us with that. Thank you for each one here. May they have a blessed week as they meet family and friends. Father, you know the burdens that each one carries, the concerns that each of us has. Lord, you know that we live in rather troubling times. We're not always sure what's going on. Help us, Lord, to rest in you, to wait upon you, to trust you with our lives, and help us to love one another from the heart. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you, make his face shine upon you.